Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, it started in a cemetery. A conversation with Rosie Page. It all started on a dark night in a cemetery with friends. Rosie Page slammed on the brakes, jumped out of the car to care for a young man standing in front of her with a massive gash in his head. Fearing the worst was about to happen, she rushed towards him to provide care, only to see this young, injured man disappear into thin air. This was the start of a life that would be filled with spirits seeking her out, to deliver messages not only for her, but those that she loved.
I think it actually started before I realized it. And I think when you start to develop like medium type gifts, you don't actually really trust them at first. Mm-hmm. So when you're young and you have an experience, you're taught to think by your parents, no, that's not real. It's your imagination. It's just, you know, make believe, or like the belief, there's nothing in the closet or there's nothing under the bed. Just go back to sleep and it's all in your imagination. But as far back as I can remember, when I was a teenager is when strange things started to happen to me. I was always really brought up in the occult belief and being fascinated with the occult and stuff and Ouija boards and scary movies and witchcraft and ghosts and haunted houses. So the first thing that I recall happening to me with, you know, vivid detail is when I was a teenager. I would say I was 17 because I was driving with a friend and we had gotten off of work together one night. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, she smoked and I didn't. So she was, you know, doing her thing. And I was just driving on some back road because she didn't want to go home yet. And I was like, let's go drive out to this cemetery. Sure. Because I'm weird like that. And she was like, okay, whatever, I don't care, do whatever you want, you're driving. So we were driving to what they call in our town as the Bottoms, and driving there down this really long stretch of dark road, and you can see it for, you know, miles going on, just a long stretch of dark line in front of you. And I slammed on my brakes, and there was a boy standing in the middle of the road. He was a teenager, probably about 15, 16 or my age. And standing there, he was staring at me like he needed help. And his head was cracked open and it was bleeding down his clothes. And he had on a black t-shirt and jeans. And I slammed my brakes on and automatically went to get out of my car to help him. And my friend said, what are you doing? And I said, don't you see this guy standing in front of us? His head's cracked open. He needs to call 911. We need to get him help.
Yeah.
We need to figure out what to do because he looks like he's going to die. And so I opened my door and I went to get out of my car and I went toward him. And as I went toward him, he just vanished. And it freaked me out at first, but I was completely sure that like there was nothing in my mind. Like there wasn't, you know, I wasn't tired. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't under the influence of anything. There was no reason I would have seen a full body person that I was convinced I needed to slam my brakes on because I was going to impact him with my car if I didn't. So that was the first incident that I remember. And then one other incident at a cemetery, another night at a different cemetery with some other friends, where a black dog kind of followed me and jumped on me. And I guess it wanted to go home with me. And as my sister got freaked out about it, thinking it was going to attack us, and we got in the car, and then the dog went toward the car, turned into a green ball of light. And I know this sounds totally like crap, but it's not. It turned into a green ball of light and followed us a little bit further down the road and then disappeared.
Well, everyone knows if you're feeding the dog a Purina Plus, it'll turn into a green ball of light. Purina Plus, turn your dog into a green ball of light this Easter. Purina Plus.
I will write that down.
That's a little inner, because they're spot. I'm kidding. No, I just made it up. Wow. I mean, what goes through your mind when you're sitting there and you are seeing this happen? That, I mean, that has to be, I mean, mind blowing, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Well, my sister didn't believe it to the extent that she told me it never happened and that that dog wasn't even there. So I was like, well, do I listen to her? Because she's completely logical. She's completely left brain. Or do I listen to the fact that I felt it jump on me and heard it panting and saw its tongue, you know, waving around everywhere like a friendly dog does? And I was like, I have to listen to what I experienced and what my senses were. I was completely, you know, like I said, like I didn't do things like a lot of kids did in that day. I was completely sober. So I was like, something strange is going on here. What is it? I'm going to go ask my mom about it. You know, I'm going to ask around.
So, but didn't your friend say that she was scared of the dog? Did she? So what did that imply, that she saw or heard the dog as well at some point in this experience?
Yeah. And then when we got home, I had some pants on that had a yellow, like windbreaker pants that tear away. And they had a yellow stripe down both sides, down the leg.
Yeah.
And I said, look right here on my hip. There was muddy paw prints and claw marks on my pants.
Yeah.
And so I said, there is your proof right there. That happened. We weren't imagining it.
And then she went to saying that she never saw the dog.
No, she, I guess at one point when you start to finally absorb it and you've dissected it with everything logically to try to say it could have been this or that, you have to kind of accept maybe it really did happen.
Yeah. Do you think the idea on that where, because it blows my mind where for some people it can be literally right in front of them, like what you just had happen there. Mm-hmm. And they can experience it. You know, some people say, I got to see it to believe it. Okay, you saw it. Now, can we believe it? But sometimes they still back away and go, no, that didn't happen. And it's one thing to be logical, but it's a whole other thing when it's almost denial. But is it denial, or is it some sort of coping mechanism that's just in certain people's DNAs on how their brain knows, you know, it can handle it. This can handle it. This can't handle it. Almost like a computer of some sort where it's like, nope, we need this much processing power to go that far down the line. And some people just don't have that processing power and they know they're going to shut down, or their body or their brain knows it's going to shut down if it somehow computes that to say, yeah, you saw that. And then it turned into a ball of light. Is it like a certain thing? It's like some sort of like survival thing that gets into people where it's, when they recall the memory, because memories are always reconstructed piece by piece. That's why it's hard sometimes to recall things completely accurately, because that can be influenced. Do you think it's something like that where they literally then truly believe it didn't happen because their mind will not allow them to replay what it's saying could not happen?
I think to me, that's a good question. And that's what we try to prove, I guess, through all of the endless nights of not sleeping and trying to get evidence and data and trying to get, you know, scientific explanation versus psychological explanation versus, you know, other explanations that it could have been, debunking things and stuff. But I think a lot of the time, and it's changed a lot in the last few years, I will say, and I'm extremely happy that it has, because then people can come forward and tell those stories without getting burned at the stake metaphorically.
Sure. But yes.
I think that people just don't want to understand something that they think is going to shatter their whole entire belief and their system of how they were raised and everything that they know.
And that's it's exactly what I'm saying. It'd be a trauma to absorb that. And if you're seeing that trauma coming at you, I mean, a lot of times traumas, you don't know they're going to happen until they're happening. This one is almost one like you can see the writing on the wall of like, if I absorb, if I process this, that is going to blow all of this up. So there's a certain amount of choice that goes on, but I wonder how much of that is just an instinct thing, because no matter how much evidence comes out, no matter how many ways, you know, there's ways of proving this or that, some people, no matter what, seem to just not believe. And I don't know that there's ever truly a way or will be a way to, you know, to do that. I know a lot of us don't really necessarily have that as our goal of like, let's prove it to people. It's more like, look, we're kind of operating from the standpoint of this exists. You're on the same page. You'll enjoy this. If not, you're going to think this is stupid. And I don't really care. It just feels like there's just, it seems like a break off. And here's another point with that, too. We're in a world where people will not accept basic facts of like things that are not necessarily traumatic, but just basic facts. You know, you can literally, you know, go depend. And obviously we see a lot of it in politics. And I'm not saying either side. I'm just saying, because it can happen on either, where it's just like, no, here it is. This is the video of X person saying X thing. It happened. And here's all the context around it. It's not a little snippet. This is a fact. This happened. This occurred. And they'll still pretend that it's not real. Like, that's not true. That's not. Or sometimes, oh, it's manipulative. No, it's not. This is really what happened. So if we're in a world where people will not absorb and process just obvious shit, or things that nobody used to argue about, how are we going to get anybody to like go into this road anymore? I feel like sometimes the more we advance on things, it's like we're almost going further and further back in other ways.
I do too. I've always thought the more that we advance, the more downfall of civilization will happen.
Essentially.
We'll rely on something else other than our own selves.
Yeah. So let's go back to the cemetery, the first cemetery story, where you saw the guy with the head gash. Did anyone else in the vehicle see it when you got out, or was it just you that was seeing this?
It was only me, which is what stinks, because, and I would like to say it was probably because my friend was too worried about trying to get stoned or something. Uh-huh. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't shun that. If people do that, that's their choice.
Sure.
But I think she was too worried about trying to do that, that maybe she wasn't even looking. Maybe she was, because I have a belief that, I know they've done a lot of experiences with people using psychedelics to heighten your spiritual gifts or your ability to receive things or see things. But I, for one, believe in, like, when you go somewhere and you know you're going to investigate, I think that you should be sober.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah,
too many things can happen, like breaking legs, you know, dropping equipment, hurting people on accident, safety issues.
Sure. Yes. So no one else saw that person that was there.
No.
That had to make you wonder, okay, what the hell was that when it disappeared? Did you ever get a chance, you know, years later or even, you know, shortly after, to look into that in greater detail of like, was there an accident here at some time? Was there something that would make sense as to why that would have happened in that exact spot?
I did, actually, just within the last few years, because stranger things have happened since then. And more often, like on a daily basis now since then, and that was, you know, few and far between. They were stretched apart in like occurrence. But like, I did research and didn't find any situation of on that street where a young man to that description had passed away. That being said, since then, I have figured out you can be somewhere and a spirit can be there that doesn't even actually, sometimes hasn't even passed away in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, and they somehow, they are magnetically drawn, or they are like a lighthouse. If you have an ability to see things like that, you're almost like a lighthouse. Does that make sense? And you put off a little beacon, like a light. These spirits and things see that light, and they come to it.
Mm-hmm. Because they know that you'll be able to sense them. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.